Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome to the podcast. We're glad you're joining in for our study of the book of Romans. We're in chapter 7, and we're going to pick up there today from verse 7 through the next few verses. Not sure how far we'll get in this episode, but let me read, go ahead and read the whole paragraph through verse 12. It's quite a lengthy paragraph, but let's put it all into context. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Well, we're right in the middle of trying to interpret and understand the way Paul understood the role of the law. And we've made a lot of comments up to this point. We've looked at the first preliminary verses of chapter 7, and we've seen how Paul makes it very clear that there's been a shift. There's been a movement from something that was old into something that was new. And we talked about that in the previous episode, and we diverted a little bit into some other passages in Paul, specifically in 2 Corinthians and in 1 Corinthians, where we looked at how Paul understood what he meant by the letter of the law. Because just previous to these verses that we read, he makes this statement in verse 6 that we serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And we've talked about these terms. We've talked about the truth and the ideas surrounding the newness of serving the Lord in the Spirit versus the oldness of serving the Lord in the letter. And we've just picked around a little bit into the idea of the new covenant versus the old covenant. But let it suffice to say that Paul's understanding of something being new meant clearly that something old was done away with. And we see this in other passages in Paul as well. I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new." So Paul saw this transition as a very real reality. It was something that had taken place as a result of the work of Christ, the good news of God. Remember, Paul is unpacking the fullness of the gospel. And we've talked about this a lot, that the gospel event is not just the event of Jesus dying for the sins of the world so that God would forgive sins. No, it's much deeper. It's much broader. It's much more far-reaching than that. And this part of the discussion right now is dealing specifically with how Paul sees the relationship of the believer to the law as a result of the new work that's taken place in Christ. Now, after saying what he said about there being a newness of the Spirit and the oldness of the letter, his readers would have known exactly what he's talking about when he referred to the letter. We talked about that in the previous episode. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where he specifically defined the letter as those commandments that were written in stone. own. The only way that we can understand that would be the initial Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai in the wilderness after God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We all know that story well, but it's very, very important and foundational to Paul's understanding of the law for us to recognize he's not just generalizing law as in all the 600 and some odd commandments and instructions that God gave the children of Israel. He's zeroing in right at the very heart of the Jewish understanding of the law. And he's going to address the Ten Commandments. And this is almost an unholy thing for Paul to do, so to speak. It's very, very radical for Paul to make the statements that he makes. And he knows that his discussion is going to raise a lot of concerns, just like he knew at the end of chapter 5, that his discussion was going to raise a lot of concerns when he makes this crazy statement that wherever sin abounds, whether it's the power of sin or whether it's sinful behavior in the life of a person, wherever sin abounds, grace superabounds. And so there comes the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. And we had a long discussion of why Paul understood the way he understood things related to the power of sin in the life of the believer. We're not going to recap that in this episode, but the same discussion has taken full circle and it's come back around to this place in verse 7 where Paul asks the same question. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? So in chapter 6, he asks the question, shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. Here, he says, well, if the law does what it does, serves the purpose that it serves as an instrument which sin is going to take, is going to take captive the commandment to cause an increase of the awareness of sinfulness, what do we say then? Is the law sin? Paul asks, and his response is the same. May it never be. What is Paul doing? Paul is exposing false understanding. He's bringing us into a correct understanding of how he understood the law and how we should understand the law. But it comes as a big surprise to anybody that is listening. Not just the Jew, but even a Gentile believer would be caught back by what Paul's saying. Now listen to what he says. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not told me, you shall not covet. And right here, he quotes the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. So here, Paul connects his understanding directly to the Ten Commandments. And he says that he would not have even known not to covet if the law had not told him, you shall not covet. And so Paul is explaining how the law, the actual commandment, through the influence of sin operating, brings an awareness of sinfulness. Now he's going to go on and explain, but sin takes the opportunity. This is very key in Paul's understanding. Verse 8, sin, the power of sin. Now, in order to understand Paul's discussion here, we have to remember his understanding about the power of sin. We looked at it in detail in chapter 6. Sin for Paul is not just sinful actions that we commit. Sin is a force. It is a power. It is that destructive thing that was released through Adam's disobedience, all the way back to Romans 5. Through one man's act of disobedience, sin as a power entered in, and through it, death came. So remember, we talked about how God never intended for there to be death because he's a God of life. There is no death in God. But sin working contrary to the purposes of God as an instrument in the hands of God's arch enemy, Satan, came in and deceived. And it brought about death by the breaking of the command of God, you shall not eat. So even in the Garden of Eden, there was a commandment, and the enemy comes in and he distorts that commandment. He distorts that exhortation to life, and he brings about death. And this is exactly what Paul's explaining. Paul says, it produced in me coveting of every kind. And then he makes this important statement, for apart from the law, sin is dead. Now, Paul's saying, if you eliminate the commandment, if you take the commandment out of the picture, then sin is dead. In other words, dead things have no ability to be active. They have no ability to do anything. And so Paul's saying, if you eliminate the commandment, if you take the commandment out of the way, then you have freedom. And you have freedom from the power of sin, because sin cannot take hold of the commandment and deceive. So this is very foundational to Paul's understanding of law and how sin takes opportunity through the commandment. Now, I'm going to stop here in this episode. I'm going to close with just some overall interpretive comments because I think it is important to put it in context. You wouldn't notice this at first glance as you're just reading along, but I just want to point it out by way of interpretation because I'm going to land up on what I believe to be an interpretation of this passage, which I think is perhaps very accurate, not saying it's perfect, but in trying to understand Paul in some of these very intense discussions that he enters into, there are different options for interpretation. Now, Paul does something starting right around here in chapter 7. He moves in to speaking in the past tense. You wouldn't notice it at first glance, but in the first few verses of the chapter, he's talking in the present tense of what Jesus has done so that we can now serve in the newness of the Spirit. And he turns now to the past tense of what's happened in his life. And he's going to go along in this discussion in this past tense to a certain point. Now, many scholars and interpreters of the scripture believe that this was just Paul's personal testimony. And they say this is how Paul experienced it. And they wouldn't say that it's necessarily the testimony of every believer. Well, I'm not quite sure that I would go along with that line of interpretation. I think Paul is giving his own personal testimony. But I have reason to believe as we move through the passage that he is going to not only personalize his experience, but he's going to universalize the experience for all believers. And we'll see that as he progresses on in the chapter. But I just wanted to point that out because there are some interpretations. If you go and study it out on your own, you'll come to some different opinions about how to understand what Paul's doing in chapter 7. I do think it's a very real dynamic that all of us can be aware of in our walk with the Lord. And I'm going to explain that as we move along. But right now, we're just focusing on Paul's comments and we're taking them for what they are. Paul saw the law as the place where sin comes in and takes opportunity, because he knows that where there's a commandment, sin can come in and begin to deceive. Sin can taunt us with this commandment. It can bring an awareness of sinful behavior that's linked to this you shall not commandment. And Paul says, if that commandment is taken out of the way, then we will not be negatively influenced by the power of sin using that commandment as its tool. But remember, Paul says the commandment is good and holy. It's not that God did something bad in giving the commandment. No, his intention was pure. His intention intention was so that the commandment could bring about the revelation of what we need in Christ Jesus. That's the ultimate purpose. We looked at that in the previous episode in Galatians chapter 4. The commandment, the law, serves as a teacher to lead us to Jesus. Once we've come to faith in Christ, we don't need that teacher anymore. And more importantly, once we have died with Christ, which is Paul's whole context of Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7, we have not only died to the power of sin, we've also died to the law. So God doesn't eliminate the law, because the law, for what it is holy and perfect. He eliminates us. He kills that part of us, that place where sin is able to come and have activity in our lives. And this is the argument that Paul's making. So how is it possible that there is a place where there is no law? Well, logistically, it's impossible, because the law is eternal. It will not pass away. But the place where the law is to be practiced, i.e. in the life of a person, that place is eliminated through death with Christ, so that the law no longer has any jurisdiction in our lives, only the newness of the Spirit. We'll continue to unfold these principles and these truths in the next episode, but today I want you to contemplate on this powerful, powerful truth. Where there is no law, sin is dead. So be strong and courageous, and love Jesus more.